done.
His allegiance to the Union. You know, when did progressive mean I'm the supporter of the bureaucracy for the program rather than I'm an advocate for the goal?
So you didn't debate your opponent. It doesn't seem like an Andrew Cuomo who's confident, who believes in his argument, who thinks he has the right ideas, who just made the argument you just made to me.
Well, again, to me, it was not the most serious of all electoral contests. There weren't really issues that developed. So it was just not a serious race. I'm now in a general election. There are very real differences between me and my opponents. And I proposed and accepted two debates, and we'll see what they say.
What if they ask you, will you promise to serve 4 years? What are you going to say?
I plan to serve 4 years.
Plan to, promise to, you know, sometimes people pledge to serve 4 years when they think they might not because they want to run for president.
Well, what happens if I have a heart attack and I drop dead and I don't serve 4 years? But I have broken my promise?
Yes, you
would.
It'd
be one thing to drop dead of a heart attack, be another to break a promise.
You know what I mean. I mean, if somebody says, would you make a pledge you will not run for president in 2016, would you sign that?
I have no plan to run for president in 2016.
That's what everybody says when they... But it would be hard for you if for some reason, I assume if Secretary Clinton runs, you'll be supporting her with enthusiasm.
Right.
If she doesn't run, how can you resist doing what you must feel your father had a chance to do and didn't do, and you probably wished he had done?
Well, you have a couple of theories in that. One on what my father did. You cannot counsel anyone, you should run for president, or I wish you had run for president. That has to be a burning desire that you have, Charlie, that you are so sure you want to do this. It'd be like counseling someone, you should marry this woman.
Yes.
You know, it's either you feel it or you don't, right?
Is there a lot about politics that's like romance?
Oh, yeah, there is. More than you would guess. So he didn't feel it. He didn't want it badly enough at the end of the day, so I respected that decision.
Did you understand it, though?
I understand him, yeah. So I understood it.
And so you, do you have the burning desire to be president?
I have a burning... The only burning desire I have now is to be the best possible governor I can be. We've had a great 4 years, and we've made great progress, and I have a burning desire to continue the next four and bring the state to an even better place. And I think we have an opportunity to do really phenomenal things here.
What's the most important thing to accomplish if you're reelected governor?
I want to finish the job that we have started. We have started turning around economies in this state that have been depressed for decades. Our mutual friend, God rest his soul, Tim Russert, brought me to Buffalo, New York when we were in our 20-somethings.
Yes.
And Tim went on and on about how the town had lost hope and lost faith.
His hometown.
Yeah. Nobody cared. And Buffalo is now making tremendous progress. Cities all across upstate New York that thought they had no future, that were losing young people, now believe again, turning around this education system. Because, Charlie, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Every politician gets up and gives a great speech about how education is our future, and everybody knows that the public education system is not doing what it needs to do, and it is going to be a disruptive shift. And it is going to upset unions and parents and PTAs.
And you're prepared to make that
case? Yes, because that is progressive government. Progressive government works. Progressive government gets results. When I say I have a different mission than my father convinced people of the concept of progressive government, especially in opposition to the Reagan era. I see my mission as proving to them that it can actually work efficiently, effectively. Everybody will say the same thing to you. If I knew my tax dollars were actually going to go to an education system that was going to educate a child, I would pay the taxes. But they think the machinery, the bureaucracy, doesn't work. And many times they're right. Well, then...
Is this more of a Republican argument than a Democratic argument?
Oh, no, because the conservative argument will be government doesn't work. You're wasting your time. It can't work. Let the free market work, and anything the free market doesn't do, charity should do. That's the conservative argument. Nice and simple, and all these government programs and bureaucracy are either counterproductive or a waste of money. I think the vindication and the advancement of the progressive dream and goal is making the concept a reality. Make the education system work, please. Make the transportation system work, please. Make the housing system work, please. Make the security system work, please. I'm afraid of ISIS. I want to believe that government can actually protect me. Show me that it can, but not with words, Charlie. I heard the speeches. I've heard them all. I want to see the results and the performance. And that's what I'm focused on.
Are we going to see you, at the end of this first term, you began to make foreign trips. You went to Israel. You went to Afghanistan. What's that about?
That is about, specifically, at that time, the rise of ISIS, the rise of terrorism, the recognition that there is a new normal when it comes to terrorism, the way we have a new normal when it comes to climate change and extreme weather. There is a different weather pattern. There's a new normal. We have floods. We have hurricanes that we never had.
Does this say a governor should be interested in foreign affairs and a government, while he not shouldn't have or she shouldn't have a foreign policy, she should have a comprehension of where the country fits?
Governor of this state.
The country's role in the world.
Governor of this state. You know that you are at the top of the list for any terrorist threat. New York City, New York State, you are at the top of the list. You learn that the hard way, several times. Security and making sure the people in this state are secure, public safety is job one. And understanding the dynamic that is driving. Because, Charlie, I don't believe this goes away. I don't believe this gets better. I believe this is a new normal. I believe this ISIS is, there are a number of groups.
Do you support what the president has done so far?
I support.
Should he do more?
I support the president in his war on terror. He's the commander in chief. He calls the shots. I don't think that we can do enough. I think this is the new reality.
Okay, but should the president have done more in Syria? As you know, the criticism of the president is. At an early time when he was asked to support, and Secretary Clinton said we need to do more, and CIA Director Petraeus and Defense Secretary Panetta all said we should do more, and the president said no.
Yeah, for me, Charlie, it's not about yesterday, and I'm not going to second-guess the president. It's about tomorrow and working cooperatively with the federal government to make sure this city and this state are secure.
Why do you think his numbers are so low?
I think it is a tough time out there. I think the economy... The numbers say good things. I don't think people feel it. And this has been a long slog, this economy, and it's still not where we really want it to be. And I think that is driving a lot of anxiety on both ends of the political spectrum.
What would you recommend the theme or the great narrative, if Secretary Clinton runs, ought to be?
I think, Charlie, you have two great challenges. I think one, on the theme we've been talking about, make the government work, performance, results. These are frightening times. And Ebola, government better know what it's doing, because if it doesn't, a lot of people are going to die. ISIS, government better know what it's doing, because if it doesn't, then we'll never be safe from these terrorism threats, which seem like they're never going to
win. So if you believe that, then you should be prepared, if the military believes it's necessary, to put combat troops on the ground, shouldn't you? If ISIS is that threat, you have to resist it.
Well, I think,
and they are within reach of Baghdad.
I think the threat is actually worse than ISIS. I think it will be ISIS today. It will be another group next week and another group thereafter.
And not just in the Middle East. In
That's
Africa.
Right.
In
that
Asia.
Is exactly right. That is exactly right. So I believe we have to go down two tracks simultaneously. Number one, try to reduce the anger and the hatred before it gestates. And number two, you need the security systems in place here at home because they are coming. The only question is when. And the other challenge is going to be the economy. Because the economy...
What does the economy need that it doesn't have? Does it have... What does it need? An increased demand? Does it need for corporations to spend more money and plant and equipment? Does it need somehow to create some stimulus to create more demand?
I think, Charlie, we have a confidence crisis in the economy. And that is what...
Consumers or business?
On both ends. On both ends. People don't feel it. They don't believe in it. And confidence has so much to do with the marketplace, consumer confidence, business confidence, investor confidence.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the political extremes and the heat coming from the extremes is generated by this long-term economic anxiety. We've had cycles before, but they were quick downs and quick ups. This is just a slow drip, 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 and it's 6 years, 7 years, and I still don't feel like
You've
I was...
You've got a Democratic president.
Yeah.
You know, and the Senate, it's Democratic. What happens if the Senate goes Republican?
Well, it's really going to be interesting at that point.
From New York City, you're watching Bloomberg Television.
You are watching
Bloomberg Television.
Bloomberg Television.
Did you get that?
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving. For growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. A feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership. Which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups.
They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time? Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
Let me talk about things that are not in the book. The Moreland Commission is not in this book. I don't know of a single issue that people are more critical of you. You understand that.
They believe that
the commission was created to look into corruption, and you abolished the commission. That's sort of the way people see it in the public.
That's the way it has been communicated.
Yeah.
That is not the fact and the reality. This is a political dispute more than anything. I wanted the legislature to pass a law, an ethics reform law. I said, if you don't, I will appoint a Moreland Commission to do the investigation.
And?
The legislature didn't pass the law. I created the commission. I then said, if you pass the law, I will decommission the commission because I want the law. The legislature passed the law. 85% of the law I wanted. They didn't pass something called public finance, which many of the editorial boards in New York support, which I support, which is controversial. It happens not to be supported by the people of the state. And the legislature wouldn't pass public finance. But I got 85% of what I wanted. I take 85% of the bill. The criticism was you should have waited for public finance and gotten 100%. And you should have kept the commission going until you had public finance.
Well, because of, I mean, you were smart enough to know the appearance is that you simply created a commission and then canceled it.
When I got.
And the commission was to investigate corruption.
Yes. But the purpose was to get the law passed.
Would you do it again?
I would have communicated more extensively the purpose of the commission. Because
it seems like legalism, as you know.
We didn't need another commission. We
but once
have,
you've had it and it's your commission, I mean, you must know the political risk of saying, I'm canceling this. And how hard it is to explain that.
Well,
as you
found
out.
I didn't explain it before the fact,
right.
Which was the mistake. I should have said more often than I said, when I get the law passed, if they pass the law, I will decommission the effort. And also part of it is, Charlie, they're saying, well, you got 85%, you didn't get 100. And you should have held out for 100%. And you should have held out for public finance. And we think you made a bad deal. If I had to hold out for 100% in 4 years, I wouldn't have passed the bill. My job is all about moving forward with compromise. And this legislature was not going to pass what they wanted, which was public finance. This is still a democracy. We're in an election cycle now. The best way to get public finance is to elect the legislators who will pass public finance because the current legislators won't.
Let me ask you this again about you and two things. One, this is an observation by someone. He knows how to use the instruments of power, said, but his biggest weakness, he relies on a handful of close aides. He does not delegate power, and he is not able to attract top talent to his administration. He's not comfortable with people he does not know well.
I believe this administration has had the best talent that this state has had, I believe, in modern political history. And I know everybody who's been in every administration. We've gotten a tremendous amount done. We've broken every record. You look at the progress this state has made. It's been phenomenal in 4 years. We have 7.4 million jobs, more than the state has ever had before. We're number two in job creation. Passed four budgets in a row, hadn't been done in 40 years. Every credit rating agency increased the rating of the state.
Same-sex marriage.
I don't do that. Yeah, passed all sorts of laws. Yeah. So it's been an outstanding record. That doesn't happen without a team. Well, you micromanage.
Yes,
you
they
should
say that
delegate more.
Right, and you are, you know, they're not
hands
very transparent. You're not transparent,
on.
They
yeah,
say.
I know.
You know.
I know.
And they say you don't suffer fools, and, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not.
You push too hard.
Yeah.
You micromanage.
Yes.
And, yeah.
All of that. Do you plead guilty or not guilty?
You can't have one without the other. I plead guilty. I work very hard.
You know, if you say to people, if there's something about Andrew Cuomo you don't like, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, says, it is only because I am the way I am that we've had the success we have. That's what you say.
Yes. I believe that. I believe that. No, I'm not sitting on a beach in the south of France saying, go ahead, guys, you run it, good luck,
yeah.
I'm a delegator.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where you come from, that's your tradition.
That's who I am. It's what I told the people of this state.
What did you tell them?
I said, you elect me, I work for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if there's a problem, it's my responsibility. Yeah. And if it goes wrong, it's my responsibility. In 4 years, Charlie, I have never said it was him. I never said it was this person or the legislature or this. It's my responsibility.
There are people in there. I could go to Albany and find people who around you that would say to you, Governor, you're simply wrong.
In terms of
you know, people who advise you, yeah.
All the time.
All right.
They enjoy it. And I enjoy hearing it, by the way. I don't need to hear what I'm doing well or what I'm doing right. I need to hear what I'm not doing right, right? That's how you help me.
And you said you've learned a lot. I mean, you faced loss and you were on the floor and you had to get up. Did you say to yourself, you know, there are times I've just been too ambitious. I've been too anxious. I mean, your first run for political office was not for the city council. It was not for lieutenant governor. It was not for congressman. It was for governor. Governor! Is there a bit of too much ambition too soon in Andrew Cuomo? Is that one of the lessons? You weren't ready.
I think that was lesson number 1, 2, and 3, yes. I think it was an overreach in running for governor coming out of the Clinton administration. It was a terrible political judgment. Yeah. I mean, it violated the first rule, all politics is local.
There is this sense that somehow there is about you something that somehow rubs people the wrong way occasionally. Do you understand that? I mean, does that resonate with you at all? It may go back to the Prince of Darkness in Albany when you ran. I don't know where it comes from, but there's a bit of that. Because I asked people, what should I ask him? And they said all the things that I've asked, you know, about what you want to accomplish and about foreign policy and about, you know, learning from loss. But they also say, you know, is he...
I think, Charlie, it depends. I think campaign manager for my father, as a young person, created a certain image and was a certain role. And by the way, that was the job. You are a campaign manager running against the system. It is all uphill, and it's New York politics, and it is rough and tumble. I think...
Win at all costs?
Well, it's just... This is hardball,
right.
And it's the fast pitch cage, and that's what it is. It's New York politics. You don't have the stomach for it. They don't care if you're 19 or if you're 55, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very tough business. Now I think you look at what I've done in 4 years as governor. I have, by relationships... accomplished a great deal. You know, governor of New York, you don't have that much power in the job description, believe it or not. I was attorney general before I was governor. In some ways, attorney general, you have more constitutional power. By governor, as governor, you want to get anything done. You have to get it done with other people. You need the assembly. You need the Senate. You need Democrats, you need Republicans, you need upstaters, you need downstaters. And we have had unparalleled success in putting together those coalitions. I mean, Washington talks about gridlock. They have gridlock. They think they discovered gridlock. They didn't discover gridlock. Albany discovered gridlock. We had 30 years, 23 budgets were late, an average of 2 months. This was real gridlock New York style. You know, it was tough. We did the exact opposite. 4 budgets passed on time, first time in 40 years. I work with Democrats. I work with Republicans.
You know, what you've just described is some of the qualities they say that President Obama has not had.
Well, it is true that you have gridlock in Washington that is
But you have had to work with Republicans. You would not have passed what you have done.
Well, I have had to work with Republicans. I have a Senate that is controlled by Republicans.
Exactly.
So I understand you have to get the Republicans to agree and you have to get the Democrats to agree. That's why, Charlie, when you tend to say, when you ask, well, the far left is unhappy with certain things. I have
said
a Republican.
Left, actually. Yeah. Far left.
Okay, I heard the far left. They are unhappy with certain things.
Yeah.
I have a Republican Senate. I have to get things passed. And that requires a balance in all these measures.
I'll read you the last paragraph. Americans are a magnificent collection of the most daring, strong, entrepreneurial people on the planet. They're the rare souls and offspring of people who are brave enough to get into small boats to cross great oceans to come to a faraway land. They built the greatest nation on earth, defended it through two world wars, and continued to be the global force for freedom. Pioneer and immigrant blood is in the veins of this country. That is the resilient, resourceful, supportive character of this nation. That is what makes all things possible, which is the title of your book. Governor, thank you.
Thank you,
Chairman. Pleasure to see you.
My pleasure.
Andrew Cuomo for the hour. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
We all have to plan for retirement. But when we start worrying about tomorrow, we miss out on what matters today. At AXA, we offer advice and help you break down your retirement goals into small, manageable steps. Because when you plan for tomorrow, it helps you live for today. Can we help you take a small step? For advice, retirement, and life insurance, connect with AXA.
I think that the Malaysian government creates a very business-friendly environment. They've been working alongside us throughout the 40 over years. We wouldn't be where we are today without that support. And obviously, that support would continue.
Malaysia is at the forefront of success. We have very talented people, world-class infrastructure, and we provide a very strategic environment for businesses to grow.
Huh. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance.
Hey, I know that.
Well, did you know that former pro football player Icky Woods will celebrate almost anything?
Number 44.
Woo! 44, that's me!
Get some cold cuts, get some cold cuts, get some cold cuts.
Woo! Give me some!
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
44, ladies, that's me! Woo! Gonna get some cold cuts today.
How do you start your day so you make better investment decisions?
You watch Bloomberg Surveillance to find out what the markets are doing. And you talk to smart people. Bloomberg Surveillance, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
I'm only in my 60s. I've got a nice long life ahead. Big plans. So when I found out Medicare doesn't pay all my medical expenses, I got a Medicare Supplement Insurance Plan.
If you're eligible for Medicare, you may know it only covers about 80% of your Part B medical expenses. The rest is up to you. Call now and find out about an AARP Medicare Supplement Insurance Plan insured by United Healthcare Insurance Company. Like all standardized Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans, it could save you in out-of-pocket medical costs. Call now to request your free decision guide.
I've been with my doctor for 12 years. Now I know I'll be able to stick with them.
You'll be able to visit any doctor or hospital that accepts Medicare patients. Plus, there are no networks and virtually no referrals needed. See why millions of people have already enrolled in the only Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans endorsed by AARP. Don't wait. Call now.
Your business requires on-time payroll processing, affordable health benefits, workers' compensation, managing government compliance and employee performance management. Insperity's Workforce Optimization is a suite of HR services that takes care of all of this and more, helping your company run better, grow faster, and make more money. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
I'm Mark Halperin.
And I'm John Heilman. Mark's on the road today, and with all due respect, he probably should have taken the keys to the liquor cabinet with him. Mahalo, sports fans. In tonight's lineup, Colorado gets rocky, Mark Pryor gets it wrong, and the war against ISIL gets even more daunting. But first, Ebola. President Obama was going to attend two midterm campaign events today in New Jersey and Connecticut, but after it was reported that a second healthcare worker in Dallas has contracted the disease, the president canceled his trip. Instead, he met with his cabinet members. Mark, put aside the questions of public health, is it possible that in purely political terms, the president staying in Washington and being president instead of being out campaigning is a good thing for Democrats?
Look, the public health thing obviously comes first, and the White House is concerned with it on that level. But this is almost exactly like what happened when the president was dealing with Sandy in the end of the last campaign. He gets to be commander in chief. He gets to look authoritative. He's doing conference calls not just on Ebola with world leaders, but also on ISIS. I think given how toxic he is in a lot of these battleground states, if he can be seen as being commander in chief and get his arms around these crises, I think probably most Democrats with contested races would prefer that than him being up in Connecticut where he's supposed to be.
Right. I think it's at this point, it seems to me, given the level of panic that's brewing, it's not, we're not in full-blown panic in America yet, but you look today at the front page of the New York Post story there that had a lot of scary quotes from public health officials at the UN, Halloween costumes about Ebola containment suits flying off the shelves. It's a moment right now, I think, where the president would do himself a lot of good by taking control of the situation as much himself personally as possible.
Exactly. And even in Connecticut, a place where they obviously think he'll help in the governor's race there, it's clear both policy and politics, he's better off being at the White House, getting his arms around this thing, being a leader, than doing one rally in Connecticut or missing a fundraiser or two. Got to see if going forward, though, he sticks with that as long as this is still a crisis.
And I do think your Sandy analogy is dead right. I mean, there was no one believes, who's serious, believes that that's why he won the election in 2012. But there's no doubt that it helped him in those final days to be out there looking like the commander in chief and not just like your average ordinary political candidate.
Exactly. Just better pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move on. We got two new polls today from NBC and The Wall Street Journal and from ABC and The Washington Post, both showing that the president's approval rating is at an all-time low, which helps explain why when he returns to the campaign trail, when he does, his itinerary doesn't match up perfectly with where the political action is. Let's take a quick look at the map to see what I mean. Up there, we've got all the contested Senate races. Those are all in yellow. Those are the places where the real action is, the political battle is happening. And then we've got the blue stars showing where President Obama plans to travel over the course of the next few weeks. Those blue stars are mostly deep, deep, deep blue states where there's a governor's race. He's going to go up there and try to raise some money and help turn out the vote. You can see there's only one state where there's overlap, and that's Michigan. That gives you an idea of how far outside the main lines of battle he is. The same polls that I talked about earlier show Republicans with an advantage over Democrats nationally, just 3 weeks ahead of the midterms. But just how big an advantage is less clear. So the question I have for you, Mark, is are we looking at a Republican wave here or not? And I got to say, before you answer, I just don't see it.
Well, look, the Republican brand isn't doing great in that ABC poll. The Democratic brand is like at an all-time low. Energy and emotion matters. The balance in a presidential race is a lot towards earned media, towards campaigning. The paid media matters, the ads, but there's a bigger balance weighted towards the earned media. In these Senate races and governor's races, paid media, the ads matter a lot more. In this case, you can't ignore, though, that all the news is about international crises, stock market tumbling, ISIS, Ebola. This is bad for the governing party.
Right.
I think that those numbers reflect a drift towards Republicans, not a tsunami.
No.
But at this point, it wouldn't be surprising if a lot of these Senate races, not all of them, but a lot of them did break towards Republicans because of the sixth year of the presidency.
Right. I agree with that. But I'll tell you, the big difference, that 2-point difference in the generic ballot on that NBC Wall Street Journal poll, a long way from the 7-point spread back in 2010. That's the difference between a drift and a wave, to my mind.
Poll, poll can't show who's going to vote. The Democrats still think they can turn people out not being picked up in all those polls.
Right. All right. Whether or not there's a national wave, there's no doubt that certain contested Senate races seem to be trending toward the GOP. Tonight we're going to focus on two of them, starting with Colorado, where a new CNN ORC poll shows Republican challenger Cory Gardner ahead of incumbent Senator Mark Udall by 4 points. In a new ad that uses Colorado's natural beauty as its backdrop, Gardner makes things personal.
6 years ago, Mark Udall got elected on a promise to be bipartisan. But in Washington, he was rigid on the party line. Now his campaign's gotten too tired and too mean. Senator Udall's brand of politics divides us. It keeps us from fixing Obama's failures, and it puts our children deep in debt. When my party is wrong, I'll say it. When something is broken, I'll fix it.
Democrats have long been extremely confident about their ability to hold on in the Rocky Mountain state. But Mark, I ask you, is Colorado actually slipping away from them right now?
Well, look, Republicans, I think, clearly have the upper hand right now. Gardner has proved to be a great candidate and a likable candidate. You see it in that ad. He's not Ken Buck, who Michael Bennett beat in that state. They've tried to demonize him on issues. Harder, though, the guy hasn't made gaffes, and he is likable. Democrats, though, have something in their back pocket. This is an all-male election, all mail-in ballot. The first time that Colorado's done it, John, it helps Democrats. More people vote, more Democratic-type voters vote. Yeah. That's a thing, again, hard to measure. If they can mechanically get those ballots in, they can pull this out. But right now, I'd say the Republicans have the upper hand, and the public polling reflects that.
And as you know, Guy Cecil, the political director of the DSCC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, was the guy who helped Michael Bennett win that race 6 years ago. He knows Colorado really well, and he's been focused on these mechanical efforts that you're talking about for a pretty long time. Even with the polls shifting, there's still a lot of, they may be diluted, but there's still an awful lot of confidence in Democratic ranks that I hear. I don't think that race is by any means over, even with these drifters in the polls.
They need postage stamps.
Yeah, right, exactly right. All right. Now in our second race to watch, Arkansas, where last night Democratic Senator Mark Pryor and his challenger Tom Cotton held their final debate in this hard-fought contest. When Pryor was asked to define the middle class in terms of income, he said it included households earning up to $200,000 a year. And no, Pryor was not misspeaking. He said it twice.
Under this law, there's a lot of different definitions of middle class, but when I think of the middle class, I think of most of Arkansas, and maybe that goes up to $150,000, $200,000. I mean, there's different ways to judge it, probably up to $200,000. There's different definitions, but that's my working definition.
Just to be clear, the median income in Arkansas is roughly $40,000 a year. Mark, Pryor has been consistently stubbornly behind in this race, not a lot behind, but consistently and stubbornly behind for quite a while. Has he just put the final nail in his own coffin?
Well, that thing got more national attention than it did in Arkansas, as best I can tell. But there's no doubt that Republicans will probably launch that. Look, this race is Republicans think it's basically over. The chance the Democrats have is two related factors. It's Bill Clinton, who's been to the state, will probably go back. And turning out African-American voters. When you poll the state, you got to make it, you got to figure out what's the contribution of the vote going to be from African-Americans.
Right.
If Bill Clinton can sign up volunteers, inspire African-American turnout, and if Pryor can finish strong, maybe Cotton makes a gaffe, Pryor's got a chance. But this is one, if you ask Democrats, what's your toughest state right now to hold of your incumbents, I think this is the one.
Well, I'll be right after Louisiana, I think, which they're also very pessimistic about. No doubt, a lot riding on Bill Clinton. I believe he's going back at not just once. I think he's going to be back there twice in the state between now and Election Day. But, boy, it is a real uphill slog for Mark Pryor, and he just made it a little bit harder for himself, which is not what he needed. All right, so let's move on.
He needs a cotton gaffed.
All right, so in today's Washington Post, columnist David Ignatius writes about the darkening picture in the war against ISIL. Ignatius quotes a White House official saying that putting U.S. advisors in harm's way is crucial to getting Iraqis to fight ISIL, stiffening their resolve. That's starting to sound an awful lot like the one thing that President Obama pledged there would never be, boots on the ground. So, Mark, the question here is whether the president will be forced to go back on the promise that he made if he has any hope of winning this war. And I think the answer, unfortunately, is yes.
There already are boots on the ground. There's no way America can fight a slow war without more of a stronger effort. I just don't see how, based on the reports we've seen in the last few days, this can be successfully prosecuted in the short and medium term without more Americans than there already are on the ground. And the president's going to have to deal with the reality of that. probably easier and safer after the midterms, and maybe when Republicans control the Congress, if that happens.
Totally fascinating. In the paper, in the last couple of days, we've seen this over a couple of weeks, but in the last couple of days in particular, the military making clear that it's not totally comfortable with the way this mission's been defined. The CIA now kind of leaking, apparently, to the New York Times that President Obama asked for a study of past instances in which the CIA has worked with insurgents and rebels and found that basically it never works, and yet President Obama is now trying to arm the Syrian rebels. The really interesting kind of internal politics playing out in Washington. Those people all kind of trying to undermine him or at least sow seeds of doubt about where they are in the press.
Yep. At the same time, though, we've seen now in the last couple of days the kind of face-to-face or personal diplomacy and military coalition building that President Obama hasn't always been willing to do. He had the military leaders from the 20 or so allied countries at Andrews Air Force Base face-to-face. He did a teleconference today with some Western European leaders to talk both about Ebola and ISIS. As we both know, in Capitol Hill, overseas, the president hasn't always put himself in these long meetings to have the face-to-face time. He's doing that now, and I think it shows the degree to which he understands there's a lot of coalition still to be built. There's a lot of complexity here, and while they talk about short-term setbacks, they may not be calibrating just right in terms of what America's putting into this.
All right. According to news reports today, President Obama has decided to wait until after Election Day to nominate his new attorney general. And some of those same reports suggest he is leaning toward his former White House counsel, Katherine Rumler. Mark, the quick question here. Is Obama smart to wait until after the midterms, or is he making a mistake?
Well, I think politically he had to. Democrats didn't want to have all their candidates out on the Senate battlegrounds asked would they support the president's nominee. But doing it this way means I don't think he can get somebody confirmed in the lame duck unless he nominates John Ashcroft. And that means he's going to be taking his chances on the new Senate. If it's a Republican Senate, he may affect who he can nominate. It may be a protracted battle. So no great choices, but clearly they are pretty much consensus, as I understand it, in the White House. Do it after the midterms. Don't inject another issue which could inspire the Republicans to turn out.
Right. I'll take credit for picking Katherine Rumler from the very beginning. I think all the things you just said are true. And if she is the pick, it's going to be a big fight, especially if it's a Republican-controlled
Senate. Bet you a diet Mountain Dew that he picks somebody else.
Okay. I'll take that bet and up into a six-pack because, you know, I have a very high tolerance for diet Mountain Dew. All right. Let's move on and bring this to a close. Coming up, the pollster who helped Barack Obama win two presidential elections. We'll ask him if he disagrees, agrees, or strongly agrees. Next.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by Koch Industries. Learn more at KochCareers.com.
Koch Industries started in the heartland, and we've expanded to nearly every state. Today, that's more than 60,000 American jobs. You may not always see our name on the products you use, but we help make better food, clothing, shelter, technologies, and other necessities. Here, we build on each other's ideas to create more opportunities for people everywhere. Together, we are Koch.
Right here. Have a nice flight.
Traveling can feel like one big mystery. You're never quite sure what is coming your way. But when you've got an entire company who knows that the most on-time flights are nothing if we can't get your things there, too. It's no wonder more people choose Delta than any other airline.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time? Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
Only Bloomberg Television has the interviews you want to hear.
One of the fascinating things about Twitter is that once you get it, it becomes indispensable to you.
My eyes were all created equal.
Online, on your tablet, and on your phone. Bloomberg Television, wherever you are.
Our guest tonight is Joel Benenson. Here are three things you need to know about him. First, he was once a political reporter for the New York Daily News. Second, he worked for New York Governor Mario Cuomo. And third, he was Barack Obama's pollster in 2008 and 2012, and he still got that job. Joel, I'm not sure which of those jobs was the hardest, but this interview will be easier than any of them. Thank you for coming here. Mark, looking down on you from above.
How are you, Mark?
Like Big Brother, and giving this high sign. We'll just ask you a little question about news of day. Today, President Obama was supposed to be headed out to New Jersey and Connecticut, ended up going back to the White House. We discussed earlier on the show whether, in putting aside questions of public health, which are obviously central and should be central, on the political side, thinking about the Sandy analogy that Mark brought up, is this better for Democrats for him to be back at the White House looking like president, or is he doing more good if he was out on the campaign trail?
I think that from my vantage point, it's one of those things that you don't analyze it politically first. You look at it from the perspective of what the president of the United States has to do in situations like this. That was the same with Sandy. We never made a calculation as to whether it was good or not for him to do what a president has to do. And the same, I'm sure, is true inside the White House today. I think that the fact of the matter is there are things going on in the world, in the country today, that are unsettling for people. And for the president, from his perspective, and I obviously work for him as his pollster, I think it is the right thing to do. I think any time you have a situation like this, whether it was around Syria and gas, whether it's around ISIS, whether it's around Ebola, you have to be president first, and that's always what is going to serve you best throughout your term in office.
Mark?
So, Joel, when they announced the races the president was going to go into before they canceled today, it was all governor's races, no Senate races. We know that if the president went to, say, Louisiana, Arkansas, some good would come of it for the Democratic candidate. What are the bad things that would happen if the president went to Louisiana? In what ways would that set Mary Landrieu's chances of winning back?
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the right question, Mark, with all due respect, since that's the name of the show. I didn't plan that, by the way. Look, I think that when you look at the map that we started with here, we start with, if you look at the 10 toss-up states, six of those states were won by Mitt Romney by an average of 15 points or more. Several of them he won by 20 points or more. I think the map, right from the start, everybody's focused right now on where we are 2 weeks out and where's the president going. At the beginning of this cycle, everybody was talking about what a tough uphill climb this was for
Joel,
Democrats.
I get that. I'm just asking mechanically, like if you did a poll in Arkansas today and then the president went and you did a poll in a few days, what impact would he have on the state and on the race if he went? That would be so negative that he's not going.
I don't think it's a question of whether it's negative or not. I think in most of these places, it's probably already baked in the cake. So I think it's not a big decision for any candidate. I think the truth in all of these races, by the way, and I think you've heard me say this probably before, candidates and campaigns matter. These folks all have to win on their own. There are some folks in states that Romney won by significant margins, and Democrats are doing well there. In some other states, it's a tough climb to overcome. So I think that the question here is not whether it's going to do significant damage or significant help. I think the question here is it going to have any impact? And if candidates think they're better off running their own campaign and presenting their case to the voters, that's their choice. And it's probably the right one for most of them. I think people ultimately vote for the candidate that's in front of them, not the candidate that's remote and somewhere distant at the time.
All right, Joel, I'm going to ask you. You're a pollster. I'm sure you don't get polled very often, but we're going to give you of course you do, because you're a sensible man. We're going to give you a little three-question poll here, okay?
Oh, good.
Number one, is the country on the right track or the wrong track?
I think the country's on the right track.
Country's on the right track. Okay. Yeah. Second question, you're a Yankees fan.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest Yankee of all time, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, or Derek Jeter?
I think you've
If you left... say Derek Jeter, we're going to kick you off the
set. No. First of all, look, I was there the night the Yankees won that game and Jeter got the game-winning hit. I think Derek Jeter, in a remarkable way, probably most closely approximates Lou Gehrig. Okay. In terms of embodying the Yankee ethic and the Yankee ethos. I think you've left off some other players from that list, like Yogi Berra.
Okay.
In terms of absolute...
Who's the greatest Yankee of all time,
Yankee
Joel
Benenson? Joel, just answer the question, for God's sakes. And again, if you say Derek Jeter, I'm going to send Keith Oldman to your house with a baseball bat.
If I had to pick one of them, I'd probably pick Babe Ruth.
Okay, that's a very good answer. All right, third question. All right, if you had to have a choice between these three people for President of the United States, and you know all three of them, who would you choose? Mario Cuomo and his prime, Andrew Cuomo right now, or Chris Cuomo?
This is such a Cuomo family game. Chris Cuomo.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Chris Cuomo for president. Okay.
Hey, Joel, the Washington Post poll that's out today suggests the Democratic brand isn't doing that great.
Yeah.
There's been other polling that shows when the president took office, Democrats had big edge on who do you trust on the economy, who do you trust on national security. I assume you accept the premise that the Democratic brand's not in the same shape it was. Why has that happened over the course of the time the president's been in office?
Well, I think it's happened largely because of Congress. People today, voters today, view Washington writ large as the most dysfunctional they've ever seen it. That has kept the Republican numbers depressed for a very long period of time. Numbers on the Democratic Party and Democrats in Congress have come down a bit. Both of them have approval ratings in the 30s right now. And I think that has to do with the macro sense that that place isn't working.
But why are Republicans seen as better on foreign policy now, say?
I don't know. You've referred to numbers back from the beginning of the president's term when he was inaugurated. Is that what you're
talking
about?
Well, early on in his presidency, certainly after he got Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Well,
even into 2012, when he was running for
election. I think right now there's a lot going on in the world that's uncertain. And I think it's just a matter of the party that's in power is getting rated more harshly on that because you're the party in power. There are forces out there that people hadn't heard of. 6 months ago, Americans didn't know what Ebola was. They didn't know what ISIS was. They're now hearing about those things on the news every day, and that creates a sense of uncertainty.
Joel, let me ask you about one. Only time for one more question. You've been pretty outspoken writing about Hillary Clinton and about the disfavor or the unfavor that some of her supporters had been doing earlier in the year, speculating about her running and how that wasn't doing her any favors, right? She's now out on the campaign trail. If you were advising her now, what would you say she should be doing between now and Election Day to set herself up for a presidential run? What are the metrics?
I don't think
success?
I wrote anything about her.
Well,
I think the truth for Secretary Clinton is the same advice I give most clients. Number one is be authentic. Be who you are. Figure out that early in your efforts and live with that from beginning to end. The other thing I would say is recognize that if you were running, and I'm still not 100% certain she is, but let's just say that if you're running, you've got to understand that you're going to be running in 2016, not the 1990s. Right. The era of Bill Clinton's campaigns is very different than the era it is today. That means you got to let a lot of stuff roll off your back. You can't react to everything. The notion in those days was you respond to any attack. If you do that today, sometimes you give meaningless attacks more air than you intend to, and you shouldn't do that.
All right. Joel Benenson, Democratic pollster par excellence and leader of the draft Chris Cuomo for president effort. Thank you for coming today, and we'll see you soon. Up next, things are heating up in South Dakota. There hasn't been a four-way contest this exciting since that episode of Seinfeld. We'll be right back.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by BP, proud to be America's largest energy investor.
When folks think about what they get from Alaska, they think salmon and energy. But the energy BP produces up here creates something else as well. Jobs all over America. Engineering and innovation jobs, advanced safety systems and technology, shipping and manufacturing. Across the United States, BP supports more than 250,000 jobs. When we set up operation in one part of the country, people in other parts go to work. That's not a coincidence. It's one more part of our commitment to America.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
Afternoon, we are going to introduce you to someone very special, our resident filmmaker Griffin Hammond. He's part Coen Brothers, part Errol Morris, and part Chuck Jones. This weekend, we sent him to South Dakota, and here's a taste of what he brought back.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
There's a chill in the air. Shotguns are being polished, and that can only mean one thing. It's election season.
I'm in South Dakota, where last week the Senate race here looked pretty quiet. Republican Mike Rounds running in a predominantly red state, with plenty of name recognition from his two terms as governor, was widely expected to win the open Senate seat.
We can't allow Harry Reid to continue to be the majority leader in the United States Senate, as we have to win South Dakota if Republicans are going to take back control of the United States Senate.
But here we are, less than 3 weeks from the midterm elections, and when I turn on my hotel television...
You've heard about Mike Rounds' citizenship for sales.
A million-dollar ad buy this week from the left. Then a response from the right.
NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Griffin, you are not a political analyst.
No.
Nor do you play one on TV. But we sent you to South Dakota anyway. This race obviously has gone from being a race no one cared about to being the center of the political universe. Just talk about the environment that you found there. How excited are people about the race? How worked up are they about suddenly having all the attention focused on them?
Well, it is interesting because Sioux Falls is a relatively small community. It's 150,000 people. And yet it is the biggest city in the state. So it does feel like a strange place for this battleground to be right now.
Mark?
Griffin, you spent time with at least some of the candidates in the race. Do they seem confident? Do they seem nervous? What's like the sort of body language of Rounds and the others?
We did get FaceTime with all four candidates, and they all do seem pretty confident. I'm impressed that they know their talking points. They're pretty well rehearsed at this point.
Is Weiland, you spent a lot of time with Weiland, and you heard him sing.
Multiple times.
What are his crooning skills?
He's a great performer. Yeah. He can play guitar real well. He sings. And
Johnny Cash mostly or only? Or
no, he has a few different songs that he changes the lyrics to reflect taking back Washington.
Okay, that sounds delightful.
Hey, Griffin, as we say in Arkansas, I'm going to brag on you a little bit. You're one of the greatest filmmakers I've seen working in this or any other time. And your full film about the race is going to be where, when?
It'll be on BloombergPolitics.com tomorrow.
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 So we just got a little tease, a little taste,
a little tiny tease, taste, and sample. We're going to see a gun auction at a Democratic event, all kinds of exciting stuff, and a great piece to go with it by Dave Weigel, a real political analyst. Griffin, thank you for coming in. Bloomberg Politics, fantastic. Everybody check it out on the web. We'll be right back.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, engineering some of the most advanced vehicles on the road today.
Automotive innovation starts right here with a control pad that can read your handwriting, a widescreen multimedia center, and a head-up display for enhanced driver focus, all inside a newly redesigned cabin of unrivaled style and comfort. The all-new C-Class. At the very touch point of performance and innovation.
This is the storm.
There's a storm coming.
That whipped through the turbine, which poured surplus energy into the plant, which generously lowered its price, and tipped off the house, which used all that energy to stay warm through the storm. The Internet of Everything is changing how energy works. Is your network ready?
Koch Industries started in the heartland, and we've expanded to nearly every state. Today, that's more than 60,000 American jobs. You may not always see our name on the products you use, but we help make better food, clothing, shelter, technologies, and other necessities. Here, we build on each other's ideas to create more opportunities for people everywhere. Together, we are Coke.
Try the new Bloomberg Business Week Plus app for Samsung phone and tablet and get your first year of Bloomberg Business Week free. You'll get deeper intelligence on global business, innovative companies, technology trends, and exclusive behind-the-scenes videos and interviews. Start your free Bloomberg Business Week Plus subscription on your Samsung device today.
Okay. We are only on TV a half an hour a day, but we are live 24/7 on BloombergPolitics.com.
Full coverage of everything political, including how the politics of Ebola and ISIS and South Dakota and everything else on the website now.
Taking Stock is coming up next on Bloomberg TV.
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. Feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success.